Today's gospel is found in the 12th chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 13 on page 847. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Because my son married a Hawaiian native, and we've been now able to go to Hawaii several times, I've really come to appreciate the Hawaiian culture. And the island culture, which predates Christianity, but as we consider today this Aloha Sunday and some other Hawaiian concepts, it's amazing how beautifully integrated some of the Hawaiian culture is with our faith in Christ. It's very much supports and even gives new insight into what it means to be a Christian. And it reminds me that God is so much greater than our limited understanding, that even a culture that arose outside of Christianity reflects the character of God and its aspirations for people. As Paul wrote in the letter to the Romans, he said this, "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them." So in other words, if you are even outside of Judaism or Christianity, God has been working to reveal his character and his nature to every culture in the world. It goes on to say, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so that men are without excuse." So it's not out of line that God's invisible qualities would manifest themselves in humanity, even cultures who had not yet heard the gospel of Jesus. If you've spoken to missionaries where they go to very remote areas, so many of them tell the stories that their culture that they're visiting has a flood story, has a creation story, has a savior story. They just don't know yet the name of that Savior. So it's quite amazing that we can look at another culture that predates Christianity and get something out of that for us. So today's Aloha Sunday, we called it. It's not an official church holiday, just so you, when you call your friends and go, "Hey, we did Aloha today, did you?" Well, probably not. But we don't even know if any other churches have celebrated this way. Maybe they have. But Aloha is the cultural spirit of Hawaii, and it has some amazing parables to today's topic, Jesus' kingdom life. Jesus is kind of settling a dispute, or he's asked to, when a man in the crowd says to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, this can be a volatile issue, and I've seen it in many families. The idea of inheritance and what you're going to get from the person who died has separated families and made awful things between people. Even when things seem, it's not like even a lot of money or even very valuable possessions, those things can really divide people. And so the guy asks a fair question. Jesus, would you help arbitrate between me and my brother so we could both feel good about what's going on? But Jesus decides not to jump into the family dispute, and he lays out what I would call kingdom life perspective. And he said to him, man, who made me judge and arbitrator over you? And he gives this really great advice, teaching. He says, take care that your heart is not drawn to being covetousness, of wanting what someone else has. And also says, your life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. And then he tells this parable of the rich man who was doing so well. He thought, hey, this is great. I'm going to build big barns. I'm going to tear them down, and I'm going to store up, and I'm going to say, eat, drink, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, I'm not thinking that God is saying retirement is, you know, not possible, and there is times in life when we can relax, and it's a joy, I'm sure, someday when I get there, to be retired. But actually, retirement isn't in the Bible, just saying. And even though you may not be working for an income or working for a job or working for someone else or your own company, there's always this opportunity to serve and to give. And so God says to this man, your planning is foolish because you don't know how long your life is going to last. It may be called to you tonight. And then what will you do? And who's going to get all the things that you stored up? And then he says, but be rich toward God. So in other words, we will all leave this world empty-handed. And I haven't seen, I was going to ask Alan Ruby if he was here today, he's our local funeral director, if his hearse has a trailer hitch. I would say not. I don't think I've ever seen a hearse with a trailer hitch. Huh? Matt would know. And I've also never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. Have you? We can't take it with us. We leave this world empty-handed. So hold on to that which will last. It's my encouragement to you today. John writes in 1 John, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. And Paul writes in Romans, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you will be tested, that you may discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I was, as I prepared this, I thought of a song, and maybe you remember it too, that song that went, put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the seas. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Who knows who remembers that song? Okay, good. It's been around for a while. Jesus says our lives do not consist of the abundance of our possessions. And I know this to be true for myself, that the more you own, the more it owns you. I remember when we first got married and we were so excited we got new bicycles. And we had these old bicycles that we got rid of and we had these new bicycles. And all of a sudden we're thinking about, maybe we should lock our garage. Maybe we should get a security camera. What if someone comes and takes our new bicycles? But it's that way. We have more things, and then we feel like it's harder to keep in track of all those things. Jesus says, be rich toward God. And the more you own, the more it owns you. So what does it mean to be rich toward God? I'd say putting God and what he values as our top priority. That's what it means. Putting life into perspective on what lasts and what doesn't last. What does last for eternity? You think about that. What is going to live on even beyond yours or my life? Well, I think faith, obviously. We can pass on faith to the next generation, to our friends, our neighbors. We can share our belief. And I'm sure you can think of right now dozens of people who are no longer with us who have been an inspiration to you, who have given you faith at a time when you needed it. Relationships, I think we think about that when we have a celebration of life service. Even though that person is no longer here, we can still remember them. We can still hold on to them and think about the good things that they've done in our lives. So I think relationships last. And then the promise of heaven, that we get to see the people who have gone before us and be reunited. So that's something that lasts. When we pray, that lasts. Worship, that lasts. God is pleased. Love, things that we give away, those last. And here's where we can jump back into kind of our Hawaiian theme of the day, of aloha, and learn what some of these Hawaiian words mean. Aloha, you may just think it's a greeting, like hello or goodbye. You can say it either way. But aloha means a mutual regard and affection, and extends warmth and caring with no obligation of return. Aloha is the essence of relationships in which a person is important to every other person for this kind of a collective existence. That all of us matter and all of us work together. And that's a beautiful thing. If you were to ask someone in Hawaii, what does aloha mean to you? You'd get a variety of answers. It is the essence of being love, peace, compassion, a mutual understanding of respect. Aloha means living in harmony with the people and the land around you with mercy, sympathy, grace, and kindness. Now that kind of sounds like stewardship to me, which is a good godly concept. When greeting someone with aloha, there is a mutual regard and affection. So it's extending kindness and warmth and caring to another person. And there's no obligation to give anything in return. A direct translation of aloha from Hawaiian is the presence of divine breath. The Hawaiian word alo is presence, front and face is in the front and face, and ha is breath. I don't know if this is true, but you know, you read things on the internet, and there is an ancient cultural custom of sharing aloha with another person. And it starts by sharing your breath. So two individuals will press their heads together and then breathe. And that's kind of the greeting of aloha. So it's, and I asked our staff, I said, should we do that for, you know, greet your neighbor on this Aloha Sunday? And they're like, maybe not. Don't do that. But you can practice that later with someone you care about and want to greet. You could just put your forehead together, your noses together, and breathe a breath together. And that is sharing the spirit of aloha. Another way to share the peace of Christ with one another. There's another word that I mentioned at the beginning, the word ohana. And we would translate that word as family. But the concept of ohana really extends to beyond your immediate family. It's not just your brothers and sisters or your children, your parents, the, you know, people that are the same bloodline. It is something that shows familial care and devotion to all members of the human family. Now, we've seen ohana closely associated with the concept of families who support each other. But traditionally, Hawaiians had large extended families, grandparents, aunts and uncles, kids would all live together in one dwelling. And so that idea of staying close together is ohana. Now you think about the church, and that's actually a beautiful expression of ohana. We are one great big family, and not just Shepherd of the Hills, but you think about Christians all over our town, all over our world and our country. That we don't live with each other, we don't share the same bloodline, but we care and are devoted to one another. Paul wrote in Romans 12 about what it means to be in the Christian family. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. And do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lowest position. Do not be conceited. Don't repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Wow, that's quite an attitude, quite a perspective. We leave this world empty-handed. So hold on to what will last. That passage, in so many ways, sums up the type of life that Jesus brings. Another outward symbol of love and mutual affection in Hawaii is the lei, which you all got today. And the lei is more than just a decorative garland. It's a powerful symbol of aloha, embodying love and honor and respect and interconnectedness of life. Its significance is most palatable during life significant milestones like births, graduations, weddings, and funerals, which leave where alohas are exchanged as deep tokens of emotional bonds and well wishes. And I don't know if you were able to, Sonia, were you able to get that? Okay. There's a picture that I was going to show you all, and I'll show you later maybe, of when a person graduates from college, and my son last May, a year ago, graduated from graduate school to be a doctor of architecture, is a custom of giving a lei. And they actually have everyone come out of the graduation, and there's like a laying lei ceremony. And people all go to the grounds, and they direct them there, and then these graduates get a lei upon lei upon lei. And even some of them stack up so high that they can't even see over the top. But it's this beautiful affection of saying, we're connected, I care about you. And it's an emblem of Hawaiian culture and symbolism. I hope you can see by explaining some aspects of aloha and Hawaiian culture that having an aloha Sunday is actually a pretty good idea. It really uplifts us and it encourages us not to just go on vacation to Hawaii, which actually Chris and I get to do tomorrow, so we're kind of excited about that. But it's this ohana in Hawaii, this family in Hawaii, is such a great gift. And we understand that is what the church is as well, a family where we can share deep bonds, where we can care for one another, where we can remember that we are connected and that that is the sort of kingdom that Jesus brings to us. And that's kingdom life perspective. We all leave this world empty-handed, so hold on to that which will last. That's what Paul reminds us of in Colossians, which you heard today, to put on a new self. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. And that is Christ, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth. And then he says, seeing that you put off the old things, the old self and the practices, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. The psalmist wrote, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are his people. Friends, that's kingdom life perspective, because we all leave this world empty, empty-handed. So hold on to that which will last. Let us pray. Oh, Jesus, thank you for celebrations, for joy, for laughter and fun. We thank you, Lord, that that is a part of our human experience, and we need to be, we need to smile, we need to laugh. That lifts our spirit and reminds us that there is hope on the horizon. Lord, may we show love to one another, and may the spirit of aloha, which is the Holy Spirit in many ways would inhabit our lives and give to us joy and perspective. Thank you, Lord, for all the opportunities we get to enjoy you and love you and one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.